All right, Mr. Kurt Bragalka, administrator for the McHenry County Historical Society, and no stranger to McHenry County, a 30-year veteran of journalism in the area, including the Northwest Herald and other papers, right, Kurt?
Right, yeah. I used to be the community editor in Marengo and Union. So, yeah, I go back here a ways.
A couple of years.
Yeah, a couple of years.
A little bit.
I certainly remember. I read a lot of articles of yours.
Yeah, well, thanks.
And a lot of them about the arts.
Yes, yes. I used to do an arts column. Yep.
And, you know, just real quick before we get into the meat and potatoes of what we're going to talk about, I enjoyed your article, and I remember about when the government took down the funding for the endowment of the arts and museum, and they were claiming, well, that's only for the wealthy. You know, anyway, you know, the upper class are the ones who go to these things, and therefore they should fund them, not the government. And like you said, that was ridiculous.
It is. I mean, we've always taken the approach at the society that, you know, culture is for the masses. We've always tried, you know, prided ourselves on being accessible to everyone. And so, you know, we keep our membership down, our fees down. We have a lot of free events during the year because, hey, it's, you know, it's McHenry County history. This is for McHenry County residents. They should be able to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no matter what your status is. I think people with less money need it even more.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah. It's ridiculous to even think that way. So I enjoyed your article. Actually, I should read a little something from your, McHenry County Historical website. Let's see. We encourage the appreciation of all aspects of our environment, both natural and built. Those individuals who are sensitive to their environment make better citizens. Better citizens vote. They participate in community life, and they teach their children by example. Historical societies have a role to play in that process. So I'll lead off with that because I believe in it 100%.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really it's interesting to me and very rewarding, actually. I'll get people coming up to me who are now, you know, they have children of their own, maybe grandchildren of their own, and they remember when they came out to the museum when they were in third grade mm-hmm. or fourth grade or fifth grade and did a tour. And they still have fond memories of that. They still appreciate that experience. And now years later, they're bringing their kids out there. So it's nice to see people kind of paying it forward.
Yeah, we actually went there on a field trip, I think actually in third or fourth grade. Sounds about right. And I'd like to go back there now and see kind of what it's like.
Well, you should.
Yeah. We'll make a morning frontier field trip.
I would say as an adult perspective, but that wouldn't fit. But as an older, now that I'm older, I'd like to take a look at it.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's a good segue into what we're doing Saturday.
Oh, very nice.
Thank you. it's a free event. We've been doing a holiday open house for a number of years now. And Dave Harms and Lynn Eltravoog, both are collectors of Christmas memorabilia, and they're collaborating to have something in the neighborhood of 70 vintage aluminum Christmas trees on display. It's unbelievable right now. I mean, the museum is already, we got aluminum trees everywhere, I'm telling you. And they're black and they're purple and they're pink and there's color wheels and,
it's, ooh, color wheels.
Yeah. Color wheels. Remember
See,
those?
We were talking off the air as you came in. I was telling you about how all the pictures of my parents back in the day, cause they grew up in Chicago, they had aluminum trees just as you were showing off in every single picture. And yes, I grew up with a color wheel. I remember that. That's how old I am, Kev.
A color wheel, huh?
I don't know how to explain it unless we go to the Historical Society.
Yeah, you should. And it's free. We're going to have you know, holiday music. It's just a fun event. It goes from 10 to 3 on Saturday. Weather's supposed to be good. So hopefully people can come out and see that. You'll have an opportunity to make kind of throwback ornaments as well with Bill Scarlett. He'll be there again. So it's a fun. It's going to be a fun time.
Not throwing ornaments. Throw back.
Throw back, oh,
okay.
Yes.
Well, Kev, yes. Sometimes, you know.
The decorated pine cones, the, you know, the wooden, you know, the walnuts, those kind of things. Yeah, they didn't have all, you know, when you were out on the prairie, you had to kind of make do, right?
Oh, so. We know. We're here on the Morning Frontier, we make do. You know, and to sidetrack on that, you are a nonprofit organization, the same as this radio station, so you and I both understand what it takes to have volunteers and people donate time, money, effort, anything.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're not funded by the government, are you?
No, no. And that can be a good thing, particularly now in the state, right?
Point take, but where's your little, yeah, we need the joke drum on that one. Nicely done.
Thank you. We our founder, Dorothy McEachran, set up an endowment for us. So we have that kind of, we're not having to live hand to mouth, basically. So that's good. But we rely a lot on our membership, on our fundraisers that we do. We do two big things a year, the Heritage Fair in July, which has an amazing car show. If you've never been out there, mm-hmm. kind of fill the whole street. And then Cider Fest in October.
Oh, Cider Fest.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so we, and then we do a lot of other things. We have the antique appraisal event coming up on the last Saturday in February. It's the 27th. So you can bring, if you've ever watched the Antique Roadshow on PBS, mm-hmm. you can bring up to three items in various categories. You call up, you register, and then you bring them in that day, and you get a 10-minute appraisal. It's a really great deal.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, if you got, grandma's quilt or a picture that you inherited, you have no idea what it's worth, this is an opportunity for you to come in and figure it out.
Now with all those shows, American Pickers and, Storage Wars and stuff, everyone's kind of got something that they sort of think might be worth something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so this is a good chance to do it. So that's been really popular, and we're going to be doing that in February. And, yeah, we're always doing something out there. And we're able to do it, as you mentioned before, because of volunteers.
Yeah, I volunteered up there for that Cider Fest. I forgot about that. I've actually been there since I was in third grade.
Really?
Back when I wore a younger man's clothes, probably 17, 16 years old.
You did a little Cider Fest
Yeah, I had a nice little job there. I found my niche of the ones of the, there's a couple different stations. Some of them weren't as fun as others, so I...
Were you working the cider press?
Yes.
Oh, good. Yes. That's good for you. Worked up a sweat, then.
Yeah, it was fun. I liked it, though. That was my favorite part of the whole operation.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good time.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, you should name it Kevy B. Cider. I like it. You can be your own. Yeah, we'll work on that one. Okay. The label and the marketing.
Get the joke drum out again.
Yeah, it's Michael D's House of Cheese, Kurt, let me tell you. And today's Thursday, right? So Sabor y Sabiduría is tonight. So in honor of that, it's Michael D's Casa de Queso. Okay. Inside joke there, Kurt, but yeah, we all get it. So this weekend is a big week. 10 till what time?
3 o'clock.
Oh, it's going to be a good time, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So encourage everybody to come out. To just tell you a little bit about kind of some of the things that we do, not only do we do programming, but we also offer a research library there. So if you're a member of the Historical Society, you can come in and use, not only do you get free access to the museum, you can come in and do research. It's quite a treasure trove of information. We have obituaries, we have old books, we have family files. So you can go in there and look up, a lot of your background, your family's background. And it always kind of leads to something else.
Yeah, it's like the internet. You surf and you forget what you started looking for.
Yeah.
How do you become a member?
It's really simple. You can go to our website. It's gothistory.org.
Mm-hmm.
That's the short version of it. or it's mchenrycountyhistory.org. And that has membership information, everything else on there. So, yeah.
Now, are you open every day during a certain time of year and then only during special times in the winter?
That's a great question. Yeah. Our season generally runs from the first weekend in May mm-hmm. through the first weekend in October. We're also open during special events, other times during the year. So, we'll be open, the Christmas open house is Saturday. But the display will remain up. People can come and see that from Tuesday through Friday. And then if they can't make it during the week, they can call and make an appointment for a special Saturday visit. And that will run through January 9th, I believe.
Maybe we can get a special tour, Kev.
Ooh, that'd be fun. Morning Frontier field trip.
We know people who administrate over there.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, the Morning Frontier field trip.
If you get in trouble, you can stay out in the 1843 log cabin. We'll put a fire in there.
How's
that sound?
I'm going to get in trouble on purpose. Now, the Historical Society is actually in the old schoolhouse, correct?
Yes. It's in the old Union School. It's downtown. You can't miss it. It's Union. There's really not a lot of huge buildings there. It's the one with the big cupola on Main Street. So that was built in 1870, and it's one of just three limestone structures in the county. We own two of them, the Union School and the Pringle School, which is a one-room school off of River Road as you head north.
That's true. I used to pass it every day.
Yeah. Very cool building. We're working to kind of restore that, which is one of the other things that we do a lot is restoration and preservation. If I could just make a segue here.
Sure, absolutely.
We're working very hard on what's called the Coventry House. And if anybody's familiar with the Motorola property up in Harvard, there's a little farmette up there, a barn, and a house that has basically, been abandoned by the current owners, which is a real estate, actually it's a Ukrainian company. They have offices in Miami. Called Optima.
A Ukrainian company with offices in Miami.
Yep, there you go. It's a global
world. Bless America.
But we're trying to get that. It's been named to the 10 most endangered sites in Illinois.
With the farmette?
Yeah, the Coventry House. It was the Coventry family that built this house.
Now, where exactly is that from the Motorola plant?
It's on the Motorola property right on Route 14, so you cannot miss it when you're going past. It's been abandoned. It was built in 1855. And a little side information about the Coventry family, Mark Coventry was a doctor. He was one of the founders of the Mayo Clinic up in Rochester.
Oh, big deal.
So, yeah, okay. It is a big deal. So this farm has been abandoned. It was named in 1940, it was named the most beautiful farm. In the county, so pretty cool place.
Right? I would say.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be going to the county, Planning and Development Committee, I think next Tuesday, and then it'll go to a full county board. And the cool thing about our preservation ordinance in the county is you can landmark a structure without the owner's permission. Because sometimes the owners can't be found, or they're not interested in it, or they live in Ukraine.
Kind of like the cupola house here on 20.
That is an interesting, yes. That's a very good parallel, and it underlines a problem, which is a destruction by neglect, basically.
Right.
I went to a conference one time out in Highland Park, and the guy was telling me how if you want, take a historic structure and you don't want it to be saved, what you do is you leave all the doors and windows open in the winter. And then you're saving what exactly?
Yeah.
So it's an ongoing battle. But the thing of it is you can keep this stuff around long enough. You can look at Woodstock and see what a difference it makes. It's created identity for that town.
Sure.
And I think every community has that opportunity to do that and make themselves different than every other town that you go through with the typical strip center. It's sort of like back in college when you went out and you came back and you might have gone in the wrong dorm because they all looked alike.
No, don't know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys have never experienced that.
That's where destruction by neglect would come in, I think, was during those years.
So anyway, that's something that we do a lot. We've also got the Camp Algonquin. Which is down off of 31 and Cary Algonquin Road. That was named to the list as well.
What is in the Camp Algonquin? I always wondered that driving by.
It is this really cool place. it's owned now by the Conservation District. Mm-hmm. There is 50 buildings in that camp, and it was what was called a fresh air camp. Back in the day, and people from Chicago would come out to the country.
And get fresh air.
But think about it. There were no pollution controls. You had smog going all over the place. So I guess there was some reason for it. It also, one of its versions was a tuberculosis camp as well. So it kind of evolved over time. The Tribune Company, Metropolitan Family Services, they would bring the people out there. The Tribune built three dormitories, which are all standing there at the turn of the century. They were built in the early 1900s. And Jen Jensen, who is a well-known architect, had a hand in designing some of that. So we've been working with the Conservation District to save some of those buildings. But it always comes down to funding and manpower and that kind of thing.
Now, Kurt, you were saying that you guys own, own certain things. Mm-hmm. How does that come to be? Just people who donate it? or because you wouldn't actually go out and buy it, right? Is it usually just like an endowment or a donation?
Right. Sometimes it's a combination. With Pringle School, we did buy that at a reduced price, but it needed a lot of work. The entire floor was gone. We had volunteers go in there and rebuild basically the entire school structure because there wasn't anything left. The cool thing about that school is it's still located on the site that it was originally located.
That's cool. That's cool.
And we have a school on the museum, as you probably know, called the West Harmony School, mm-hmm. that was located kind of Harmony and Voss Roads out in this area. That was moved there, obviously. It wasn't always located there. So
when was that moved there? Do you know?
Oh, anybody? Good golly.
Oh, you know what, Kev? Okay, we're talking with Kirk Bogalka, administrator for McHenry County Historical Society. And what a guest. He brought visual aids.
Yeah, there's definitely a visual aid here. Can you paint a picture for the community, Mike? You're so good at that.
No, I'm gonna let Kurt do it because I don't know where to begin. This thing is the coolest thing a guest has ever brought, visual aids with the whole timeline and everything.
That's definitely cooler than the cloud chart.
Yeah, well, we celebrated our 50th anniversary a couple years back.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. We had a lot of people that had a hand in this. I really have to give a nod to my predecessor, Nancy Fike.
It's like 30 years or so,
yes,
right?
Yes. And under her leadership, this historical society really took off. We've had, Grace Moline has come and gone. She was the curator. So now there is a three full-time and one part-time person. We continue to evolve and grow. I believe, I'm looking for this thing and I can't quite find it, but I believe it was like 2000 or so that school was moved.
Oh, it's on your timeline, the visual aid timeline. We're going to have to take a picture of that before we leave, Kevin.
Yeah.
We'll put that on the website and everything. Because that is cool.
And since you learned that new word today, Mike, what's the word of the day?
Chronological.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, very good.
We learn a new word every day.
That's good.
Kurt, so.
It's good to have a goal.
Well, you've had a goal your whole life. You've been in journalism. We got a U of I graduate, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Illini. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And
we're keeping a low profile with sports, though.
Yeah. Right.
My Illini.
For 10 years strong.
Oh, the basketball team. Oh, I just no. Let's not even get into that. This is a happy day,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about history. Their records.
All
of
these
having
players
a good
in
team.
Chicago and all over Illinois. They're just going to play everywhere else. But I think I'll go play in Indiana.
Yeah. Right. Duke.
Duke. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't get me started. Anyway. You were in journalism for 30 years, and honestly, I almost went to college for journalism. I chose a better path and went for radio. No, I'm kidding. It was kind of radio, but at the high school here, I was one who started the school newspaper, The Smoke Signal, by the way, Kev. Still have an issue with that. And when I was a sophomore, so I really got into journalism. Now, you spent all that time and obviously enjoyed what you did. Now you're in kind of a different realm of running of a historical society. Do you find it more fulfilling, the same? Are there differences? Are there things that kind of work together?
Compare and contrast.
Oh, that's why Kevy's around. He's really good at
that's
stuff.
That's like a term paper or something.
Yeah, sure.
Does that sound fun?
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting question, and I've been asked that question before. There are really some similarities, I think, between the two. First of all, it's a lot of multitasking in both jobs that I had. Obviously at a paper, you're working on several stories at one time, and then your editor will tell you, hey, drop all of that and do this other thing instead.
That's always got to be a good thing.
Right.
the old 1 a.m. call in the morning when your editor says, yeah, something's burning, get out there.
We don't know what that's like. We have a guest, we prepare all night, and we can't make it, and,
right.
What do you do?
Right.
Prepare all night.
And then, I did learn a lot of lessons because I did a lot of different jobs when I was at the paper. Kind of the last one was I was involved with the business. I was editor of the McHenry County Business Journal. So I got to meet a lot of good business people who were very successful. And I learned that there's a lot of good things. All these companies had a lot of had certain things that were in common. One of them is you hire really good people and you let them do their work. You don't micromanage them. And that's the kind of approach, because basically the Historical Society is a business. I mean, we have to run it as a business.
Sure.
So we've done a lot of different things in terms of running Ethernet cable and upgrading and things like that. And, you know, I had a computer put on my desk and people came in and said, oh, what's that?
Hey, Kurt, they have internet on computers now, I was told. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I think it's going to stay.
That's what Kevin said. It's going to stick around.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you might want to buy some stock in that. But, yeah, it's you know, it's very I found both jobs very fulfilling in that you make a difference, you know. At the paper, I made a difference by telling people stories that related to their lives and got people motivated and involved in things like, you know, oil pipelines and, oh, my God, I mean, I can't even tell you. Over the years, how many different things, landfills, just good and good stories, too, stories that people that you, you know wouldn't know about. And here I'm doing something important because I'm working with really good people again. And we're making a difference, saving history for future generations, teaching people about their past, because there is a lot of truth to the fact that you know, those who forget the past are doomed to repeat the mistakes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you got a few Marengo Nuggets stories for us, huh?
Oh, yeah.
We'll take a little break and come back. Can Kevy hang on to the timeline? You want to check that thing out?
You want to take a picture of it, of me holding it?
I would. Yeah, absolutely.
That'll be fun.
And during the show, you get the timeline. He likes visual aids.
Oh, that's good.
He's got to have something tangible in his hands, right, Kev?
I like colorful things.
Yes.
Helps hold my attention.
It's got all kinds of pictures and everything. So occasionally you can just throw something out and give us some timeline since the word of today. Well, you don't have to do it chronologically.
Oh, okay. Just
I'm not asking
nuggets.
You to do that much. But talking with Kurt Bogalko, administrator for McHenry County Historical Society, thank you very much, Kurt. I'm having a blast. You got to be a regular.
Blast from the past.
Do you mind coming back more?
No, not a problem.
Every time something's going on or not going on, I don't care.
Yeah, it was funny when I was with the Harvard JCs, we used to do a radio program called Radio Days up at the old WMCW.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, and it was, but I didn't really talk a lot because you just put on like Nagata Davida or a Bohemian Rhapsody and then you could go get a cup of coffee.
That was the day, like Stairway to Heaven and Roundabout, yeah. Now you can put on a computer, you can go to the bathroom all you want. It's great. It is, because I started back in the day, that I had carts and everything. It was cool, yeah. You had those long songs. It was a bathroom break. And actually, WMCW was the first place I ever got hired and fired in radio without ever working a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
They hired me to do the board during the football game, and then I got a call on my, well, not on the way there because we didn't have cell phones then, but before I left saying, well, we're not going to need you up here. And I'm just like, great. I got hired and fired on one day, Kev.
Yeah.
That was my radio career. Thanks. So that's why I came to a nonprofit station such as Marengo Community Radio to live out my dreams.
Well, that was their loss.
I'm saying. You live in Harvard now, right?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I live outside of town, so. It's we had a house in town for a while, and then we moved out to 5 acres. It's great.
Oh, you're in the country.
Yeah, I wish I had 10, actually. But
do you live in that big castle on 23 as you're coming into town? Somebody tell me what that is.
It's a bed and breakfast.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a bed and breakfast.
I'm there. Cab, field trip.
Field trip.
We take a lot of field trips.
Yeah, we do some field trips as well. The historic rail tour that we did with the college, and we went out to see Black Point, too, in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, recently, so that was fun.
That's a fun area.
You've been out there at all?
Yeah.
See the state?
Mm-hmm. I've been around. I like getting around it because I love history, and I love nature, and I love the conservation district, so put them all together.
All right.
I'm a happy guy. I got my own little timeline. I made visual aids.
Ooh.
They don't look like that. They got, like, Polaroids and stuff cut out, but... Anyway, we'll come back with some nice Marengo stories, huh?
Yep.
That sounds good.
I look forward to it.
This is fun, Kev.
Yeah. The blast from the past.
Blast from the past. Talking with Kurt Bogalko from the McHenry County Historical Society. I like it. Might have to have a, I don't know, bi-weekly appearance. See how I'm pushing that already?
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, I don't have enough to do. We understand. We get paid according to our talent here. Kurt, so just
wow.
So you know.
Thank you.
8:45 here on the Morning Frontier. Sitting in with us, Kurt Bogalko from the McHenry County Historical Society. And I was just informed by somebody who's a big deal at the station, Kurt, don't be coming on the Morning Frontier. Get your own historical show. That's how we do things around here. That's how we get volunteers.
Wow.
Yeah. So they think that highly of you.
Wow. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Sounds good. That's what I'm hearing. So if you're interested, you let us know.
All right. Well, thanks for the offer. We'll keep it in mind.
It's kind of a good outlet, you know?
Yeah. It is. It's, you know, and I'm having a good time. So thank you for the invite.
Usually people end up having a good time. We don't know why, Kev, do we?
It's something. It's just some something. Sort of Stockholm syndrome. Is what yeah, I think you
that's
call
what
it.
We do. So you'll come back because there's a syndrome to us. But Kevin's got the visual aids now. See anything exciting? Now, what year, Kurt, we were talking, the school was moved?
Yeah, actually, West Army was moved in 1988. So I was way off there. See, that's why I bring these things, because I'd never remember it. I was just telling Kevin, too, we've been working to try to save Harmony School, which is kind of was located near the other one, on Harmony Road in 20. And it's been turned into a used car lot, which I'm not all that excited about, quite frankly. Right. But this is the good thing. The building got saved, and they decided to put the roundabout across the street as opposed to tearing the building down in the 300-year-old oak forest that was there behind the school.
Okay, so when you're going around the bend towards the tollway,
right,
is what you're talking about?
Yeah, before you go up that little hill there.
That was a school.
There's a school, yeah. It's Harmony Real Estate.
Right. Uh-huh.
It was owned by Jack Feldkamp, who was tragically killed, if you remember that.
I do.
Yeah. So that is a really cool building. It's got all the original chalkboards in there, the original wood, the trim, all that stuff. It was built in 1931. So we were really excited to get that saved and added to it was landmarked as well by the county. And included on the 10 most endangered list as well. So, yeah, there's people out there that are interested in this stuff.
Oh, there's a lot of people. We've had a lot of people on the show.
Right.
I mean, we had Mike Bogalke. He's real good. Do you know Mike at all?
I know Mike very well.
Yeah, I thought you might. Yeah. Yep. And Dorothy Ode has been on. They have all sorts of stories. And actually, Kev, we're going to try to set up a Super Bowl of people who know the most most history in Marengo. We're going to set up a big game show with buzzers and stuff, but I haven't told them yet, so don't mention anything.
Did you know the McHenry County Historical Office was located in the Woodstock Bank basement back in 1967?
67. What a fine year that was.
Yeah.
That's true. And then
I'm not going to tell lies. I'm reading right off the, right from the source here.
That's why I brought it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's perfect.
give us another nugget. Wait, Kurt, you have a couple of Marengo nuggets to talk about, huh?
I did, yeah. Well, you were asking me to maybe tell a little bit about Marengo history. Mm-hmm. So I found this. It was kind of interesting. The centennial was celebrated on between September 12th and 15th in 1935. And they did what the Marengo Republican News called a pageant spectacle. And it was out at Shirtliff Field, and it was called Marengo's Romance of the Century.
Oh.
And they had 200 actors. They spent 4 months planning this thing. It was headed by a gentleman by the name of Edwin W. Dean. They spent 4 months planning it all. They had 200 actors. They portrayed Indians on the warpath, Calvin Spencer, the original founder of what was Pleasant Grove. And then they found out that there was all another Pleasant Grove, so they changed it to Marengo. Right. And Calvin Spencer was the first white settler in the area. So as I was looking through all of that stuff, I found out that there was an actual, and this is kind of cool, a time capsule that was created that is due to be opened in January of 2035.
You know, I have heard something about that because I said we should do one here for the Morning Frontier. And somebody's like, no, they've already done that in Marengo. So it's true, huh?
It is true. They said that it would probably be placed in the Marengo State Bank Vault. But actually, I'll get to a side on that in a minute. But actually, it was turned out it was put in the Strayhorn Memorial Library off of Washington Street down there. And it'll be open in January of 2035. So it'll be really interesting to see. The newspaper accounts at the time talked about how they hope future generations would be able to look at the artifacts in this time capsule, like they were able to look at those from 1835. So it's funny how that, you know, keeps moving forward. So it'll be interesting to see what's in there.
That would be awesome.
Really know. The other fun thing I found looking around is these are little snippets from the 1935 Marengo Republican News.
Oh, I remember that. I think I was in that one, Kev.
Were you?
What month was that?
Let's see. Well, this one was December 15th, 1908. Yeah. Actually, I thought about you with this.
That was November I was in.
You didn't make it right. Yeah.
The Marengo City Council passed an ordinance at their meeting that prohibited spitting on the sidewalks of Marengo.
Well, yeah. That was because of me.
Yeah, well, that's why I said I was thinking of you.
Thanks.
And this is a fun one here. Cecil, I'll just read it verbatim here. Cecil Wachob, W-A-C-H-O-B. He was a barber and a, quote, all-around good fellow, end quote. Received a black cat, believes a black cat is a hoodoo, it says. Recently received an express package and upon opening found 11 black kittens. Cecil thinks now he's hoodooed for life. And if he can find the sender, that man will get the closest shave of his life.
Yikes.
I thought that was fun.
I am so hoodooed for life. Hoodoo voodoo, I think.
I think so, yeah. It's like a jinx or something. That was from 1921.
Now that's good. That's good reporting. That's good stuff, right?
I thought you'd like that.
I do. I enjoy it very much. Hey, Kev, you got a nugget on the visual timeline?
Did you know that Nancy Fike, who was mentioned earlier by Kurt, actually joined the board in 1974? And it looks like she was hired in 1981, and Kurt took over for her all the way in 2012. That's a long, long time.
Yeah, that's like I said. Yep.
30 years, huh?
It took a lot of different people. You know, it's those volunteers. We have 300 volunteers, and we're always looking for more.
38 so, years? 37
so I'll
years?
Make a,
how many?
I'll make a plug.
Well, it's nice when somebody's there 3 to 4 decades because it helps. You don't have to look for a volunteer for that position.
You got some big shoes to fill, huh?
Yeah, oh, sure
yeah.
Do.
Well, yeah, I do have a few shoes.
Only another 35 years to go to...
That's right. Well, I'm really not expecting to retire. So.
Perfect. Perfect.
I'll be there a while. But what I was going to say is, like, we have a like a MacGyver type, a retired engineer named Bill Dysart from Crystal Lake, and he just came in yesterday and wound up fixing an old Macy's store window display with this sort of rocking Santa. And, you know, he took the thing, he had the thing all apart on a table, and he's sitting there with a flashlight and fabricating parts for this thing. And the thing's working. So we'll have that running on Saturday. People can see that.
That'll be fun.
Cool. Yeah.
Be a good time.
And on Independence Day of 1976 is when the museum was opened for the public. Is that what that says here?
Yes, I believe that's correct. Yes. Because we had to do some restoration. It was an apartment building. I'll tell you, it's a good place to go. If we're under ever attack, there's always there's really thick walls, and we always have a jar of candy and cookies there for volunteers. So,
wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, it's everything you could possibly want.
Yeah, and Apple Cider Fest was the very next year. That was the very first one in 1977.
Right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I got to get to Cider Fest. Well, we have to get out there. Hopefully Saturday I can make it. It's going to be a good time. Like I said, I grew up with those Christmas trees. Again, you can announce it real quick before we got about 5 minutes, Kurt. So
sure.
This weekend is what?
This is our holiday open house. It goes from 10 to 3. It features our aluminum Christmas tree forest. So aluminum Christmas trees were manufactured for about 10 years from the late 50s through like 68, 69. And they had all kinds of different ones with flocking in different colors, but these are very rare. You know, a tree that you could buy for $80 back in the day can be worth up to $3,000 now. To
wow.
Give you an idea how these things have appreciated, because they're just, you know, very cool. They're the type of thing that you either love or hate. There's not a whole lot of in between. But when you get a bunch of them together, it's a really awesome visual, and I think people really enjoy it. And Nicholas Rankosic, who is this unbelievable piano player, is going to be there at 11 a.m. He's playing on our just-tuned piano, so everything will sound good. And then we have old-fashioned ornament making and cookies and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, cookies.
So, cookies.
We're all about the cookies.
There you go. Yeah, you got to have cookies.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking all about the Marengo stories. There's so many stories from McHenry County, all just countless, countless. And if people want to find out, they can come to the Historical Society. And like you said, you have so many different things, not just displays, but, you know, you can look stuff up.
Right. There's a huge research library. People out there with, you know, biographical information, they're not sure what to do with it. You know, maybe they got it from their grandpa or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're not sure what to do with it. You know, consider giving that to the Historical Society 50 years from now. People could come into your family's folder there, because we keep biographical folders on everybody.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I'm not sure how thick yours is.
I'm going to go look myself up.
Permanent record.
Yeah, right. But, you know, then, you know, people can come in and find out about their past. It's a very important archive, I believe. We have postcards. We have old history, McHenry County history books that talk about things from the past. I'm always – the cool thing about, you know, you mentioned how do I like it there. One mm-hmm. of the cool things about working there is I always find out something new, like every single day that I'm there. I always find something.
So it's not actually work. When well, you enjoy what you're doing. Isn't that the adage?
It can't – yeah, it can be work, but it's fun work.
Let's fun work. We know all too well.
Yeah.
Of course, we get paid according to the fun here, right, Kev?
Oh, yeah.
Now, right as you were coming in, Kurt, we're talking with Kurt Bogalka from the McHenry County Historical Society. As you were coming in, we were talking about toy trains. I know you have a little liking for toy trains, right?
I do.
Kevin, there's something going on in Union. Kev, what was that?
Yeah, I don't know if you know anybody from the Union area. The Vosses they're actually just on the street. And have you ever seen his display that he's got?
I have. I'm really glad you mentioned that. Yeah, Ted's doing something on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah, big thing. And I've gone up there once when I was a kid because I was friends with some of their grandchildren. And, you know, we used to hang out and we'd go out there. It was a lot of fun out there. You know, you get us, we're in eighth grade and that huge lot out there. Well, we'd go and take a look at the trains and stuff too. So it was quite a display that he's got going on over there. So I'm happy that you actually know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they, you know, I've known Ted for a while. He is, this may be his last open house. So if anybody's interested in going over there, I think it goes till, do you have
question
the
mark. It just says till question mark. I think it starts at 3 o'clock until
yeah.
question mark.
So this is a perfect, you can go to the museum, you can see that, and just, it's right down the road
it's
there on
just,
High Bridge.
Yeah, right down the street, yeah.
And go over there and see the exhibit. It's an HO layout. I think he and his son put it together. It's got a lot of cool working things.
750 scale. Autos, trucks, over 900 little people, it says.
Yeah. I have a model railroad at home my wife and I work on. And let me tell you, it's an interesting experience. You learn all kinds of things from wiring to lighting to I can't believe all the stuff I've
So
learned.
What I'm getting at, I guess, is there's a lot of stuff like all these boards and everything we use here for radio that need a lot of soldering and wiring, and now you're very adept at that with your trains. if you're not busy a couple times, we're going to give you a call, okay, Kurt?
The Saturday night. Sure, I'll be here.
Hey, we enjoyed it very much today. Did you have a good time?
Yes. Thank you very much for inviting us.
You going to come back?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's good.
Cool.
Because the Historical Society, it's a big deal. It really is. And the ladies that I met,
Nancy and Kira?
Nancy and Kira, yeah. Oh, they're a hoot. I love them. And what was nice is when they were meeting somebody else that works for me, not only did they come for what they were coming for, the business end of it, they ended up talking to him for a half hour about where he came from and from Sicily and all this. And it's just like, wow, these are people who listen and care about the past because the past leads us to the future, as you always say.
Right, absolutely.
So I enjoy it, and I want to get everybody to go out to the Historical Society, which is only right in Union. If you can't, I mean, we deliver pizzas that far. Come on, let's go. It doesn't take long. I'll drive you out there, right?
All right. Yeah, there you go.
All right. This Saturday, 10 to 3?
Yes.
Don't want to miss it.
Awesome.
Give us one more nugget as we get on out of here, Kevin.
All right. Well, I noticed he said Nancy and what was the other Who's the other?
Oh, Kara? Nancy Rose is our office manager, and Kira Helvey is our curator.
Okay, yeah. Nancy took over for also somebody else named Nancy in 2009. And what was her name, Kara?
Kira.
Kira. Kira Helvey replaces Grace Moline in December of 2011.
And you can't do it without him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we have, and I should mention, we just hired Jess Cooney, or Cunny, she just got married, so I got to go. So she's our part-time membership volunteer coordinator as well. So yeah, we're a good team. I'm very proud of all the work that they do and the volunteers as well. So.
You know, there's another show that just started, The Vibrant Life, with Betsy Wolf. She's the president of the Town Square Players, and right. She just directed White Christmas. Do you know Betsy at all?
I have met her before, I believe.
Okay.
Yes.
I think you need to come on that show, too, sometime. See, we're getting you all over this radio. That's how good it is.
All right.
But it's a message that needs to get out there.
I agree. Thanks for the opportunity.
Oh, we had a good time. Did we not, Kev?
We did. There's a lot more we could obviously talk about, but I'll have to save that for another show.
We got to get a picture, too.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. We'll post that on the website and on the Facebook. These kids are on the Facebook now, Kurt. I don't know. You know,
that's good.
I'm learning. Kevin learns me every day.
Kira runs a really good Facebook page for us. It's something I would encourage people to go to. You can always find new information about there. We have a brewery exhibit that's going on right now, History of Brewing.
What?
Perfect.
Yeah. And when we opened in May, we had this huge tasting, and we hope to do that again this next year. So I'll keep you informed.
Well, you better. We're all about the brewery.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hot thing. We have a lot, as you probably know, there's a bunch of new breweries that have popped up, microbreweries in the county, Chain of Lakes, Scorched Earth, Crystal Lake Brewing Company, Carrie's got one.
Yeah, we just went to a Wonder Tucky bourbon one, the first one in McHenry County.
Right, yeah, in Woodstock there.
Yes,
right?
That was a good time. He was a nice guy.
Yeah.
He was. He was a very nice guy.
We were going to have him come on, but he says, I brew alcohol for a living, right? 8 o'clock in the morning? I don't know. I'm up all night. I'm like, yeah, I got you. You say, you know, because it is a nighttime process. So,
well, yeah, it's a full time process.
It is a full time. We saw that.
It's kind of like being a dairy farmer.
Right? No thanks. You never get any sleep. Kind of like we don't because we prep so long for the shows.
Oh,
Kurt.
Yeah.
Hey, but we do have to get going. It is 9:03 here on 94.3 WXMR.
LPFM Marengo.
Thanks to Kurt Bregalka. And a lot of people know you, by the way. Yeah, well, in Marengo. They all know you. They know the name.
I've been around a little while.
Very important person around here we have here on the show.
So. I'm right.
Ooh, now you're making me blush.
Yeah. VIP.
You look good in blush. Yeah, we're stepping up our game a little bit. It's ratings week, Kurt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so 10 to 3, come see the aluminum Christmas trees at the Historical Society right there in Union.
6422 Main Street.
6422 Main Street. There historic Main Street in there Union, Illinois. I'm going to play a little song for the Christmas trees, huh?
Yeah, there you are.
We'll leave you. And, Kurt, come back anytime.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. Mike, we'll be back tomorrow, huh?
Oh, yeah, Kev.
That'll be fun.
Let's do a little old Christmas tree. Yeah, Friday, Financial Friday with Jim Duncan.
That's right.
Ought to be a good one. Listen to that one. Thanks for tuning in. Morning Frontier. See you tomorrow, Kev.
Wouldn't miss it for the world.
Be good. Santa's watching.
Christmas tree.